Division, war, violence, it seems to have just grown since COVID on an international scale and certainly here in our own country. There was what preceded it in a horrific way, the silent, horrific slaughter and war hidden under the guise of medical practices with the killing of the unborn through abortion. And we're seeing now more and more a war being waged against people living peacefully in our own land who could not afford nor had the ability to come here through legal means because of their fleeing of hunger and violence, communism and drug trafficking and corruption, lack of food and shelter, just yearning for a better life for their children in a place they can make their home and call and live in peace. The violence and tensions that we see and the divisions have only intensified, and social media has made it so much worse. And so if we support our federal employees who are just trying to work honestly and protect our country and do well, then we're against immigrants. And if we support our immigrants, then we have to hate federal employees, particularly ICE or our president. And there doesn't seem to be a voice of reason and peace that's focused on the common good. It's a division that we have seen yesterday and with Renee Good has turned violent, killing U.S. citizens at the hands of federal employees. Not to mention the countless immigrants who died trying to come to this country, who have died during their incarceration, some, not countless, while waiting to be deported, and others who, after deportation, have died because of the circumstances of their country of origin. There just seems to be more death, more division, more opposition, and the drumbeats just get louder and louder and louder. How far will this go? How much more will things escalate? Will we go to war with our NATO allies over Greenland? How many more countries will we attack? How many more leaders will we remove? How much more will we enforce our American preferences by violence and war and force and might? Our Holy Father, Pope Leo, has spoken repeatedly about the need for peace and for negotiation, for another way to approach. But the fact of the matter is, division and conflict in our world and even in our church is not new. We see it in today's second reading. There are already divisions growing in the community of Corinth just a few years after the death of Jesus, if not a couple decades. Just a couple decades after Christ's death, Paul proclaims the gospel to the church in Corinth, and then he has to write them in his very first letter after leaving them to address division in them already. People are taking sides. I belong to Paul. I belong to Apollos. I belong to Cephas or Peter. I belong to Christ. Paul is scandalized. How is there such divisions among you? I preach Jesus Christ crucified and risen. There is no other. But we see that even today in our church. I like Pope Benedict. I hate Pope Francis. I love Pope Francis. I hate Pope Benedict. Right? We see that even among people online and prominent quote-unquote Catholic speakers on the internet. And it's horrific. It's discouraging. It's anything but Christ-like. But unfortunately, it's nothing new. And Paul's words are very strong toward the community of Corinth. You should all agree in what you say. There should be no divisions among you. You should be united in the same mind and in the same spirit. How can you be divided? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He's making fun of himself. This is ridiculous. I preached the gospel. I didn't save you. It's Christ who sent me to save you. The gospel that comes from him by the power of his cross, which you are emptying of its meaning by your divisions. We rob the power of the cross because Christ, rather than killing his enemies, rather than attacking those who are oppressing him and his people and who ultimately crucified him unjustly, lays down his life like a lamb led to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth, only to say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. We get so caught up in being super Catholic or super American or super immigrant that we forget what Christ did and the context in which he suffered and died and why he did so. He said as much when Pilate asked him, "Are you a king? If I were a king, I would have sent legions of armies of angels to deliver me, right? But my kingdom is not of this world." And so he went silently to his own torture, passion, and death, so as to redeem a world fraught with conflict and division, to bring a message of salvation to everyone, including the Roman soldiers oppressing him and their enemies. And this is the message of Isaiah. At the time that the prophet Isaiah wrote his book, the focus of God's salvation was with the Jewish people, the chosen people, the people God had set apart as his own. But Isaiah foresees a time when the goodness of God and his love for all of humanity would result in the salvation of God being offered even to the Gentile or pagan people, the non-Jews, the people that are not like us, the people who are not us. It will no longer be them versus us, but we. Anguish has taken wing and dispelled is darkness. For there's no gloom where, but now there was distress. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. He's referring to the people of the land of Naphtali and Zebulun, the pagan Gentile peoples who are not of the same race, not of the same religion, not of the same culture. They are not the same people. And rather than kicking them out of the promised land given by God to the Jewish peoples, they are incorporated. They see a light. People make merry. They rejoice at the harvest. At the harvest, there is abundant joy and rejoicing because we are one people because of the light God has shown in Christ Jesus, who fulfills the words of Isaiah in today's gospel. His first cousin that he grew up with, Elizabeth and Mary, were close. When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, you remember Mary, upon hearing she would conceive God in her womb, immediately leaves to take care of Elizabeth for 3-4 months while she's in the last months of her labor. John and Jesus must have grown up together and played together. And now he hears of his arrest and certainly must know of what would become of him. And so Jesus doubles down. I must work even harder now to bring the good news of salvation. And so the first place he goes to is to a land of Gentile peoples. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus wants his enemies. Jesus wants the foreigner. Jesus wants the alien to be saved. He wants everyone to gather together under one God, one faith, one hope, one baptism of us all, to give thanks, to rejoice, to be a family of God by virtue of our common humanity. This preaching, this action, and the sacrifice of Christ could not be more contrary to the tensions and divisions that we see festering in our culture, even among people who claim to be followers of Jesus and even Catholic. To the contrary of their words and actions, they often focus on the legalities and the justification for legalities of separating and division rather than on the preeminent law of charity and compassion that trumps it all. Yesterday, we celebrated the feast of St. Francis de Sales, one of my most favorite saints. He became the bishop in Switzerland, and as bishop there, the Calvinists, the Zwingli movement, was very strong. In fact, they often went to war with Catholics. Bishops before Francis de Sales would burn at the stake and have killed Protestants who refused to renounce their heresies and return to the Catholic faith. And they tried to kill Francis de Sales on more than one occasion. Francis became a saint and was well known throughout Geneva, his diocese, and Switzerland and the rest of Europe, because he would invite the Zwingli and Calvinists, the Protestants, to his home, and he would personally cook for them and serve them food and dialogue about the differences of faith. He showed them love and compassion. He was a servant to them rather than a judge that condemned them to death with the power of the secular authorities after his edict of excommunication. He was so generous and benevolent to the enemies of the church that the Catholics would say, we have no doubt Francis de Sales is going to heaven, but the Bishop of Geneva, we have our doubts. Because other bishops, if they refused to renounce their heresy, would condemn them and they would be killed or imprisoned. Francis instead would feed them, embrace them, and let them go. His effort resulted in more than 47,000 converts from Zwingli and Calvinism to the Catholic faith. He showed a different way, and it scandalized the people of his time. He told them, I would rather be judged for being too loving and too merciful than the contrary, because that is how God is with me. It's the reason why I named the chapel in my rectory, with the official edict from our archbishop, the Oratory of St. Francis de Sales. In a time when Catholics felt justified to imprison or even kill their enemies for disagreeing with them regarding the faith, Francis de Sales instead showed them compassion, patience, reason, and engaged them in the scriptures, the word of God that we share in common. He was a light to the people of Switzerland then. And we are called to be a light in our world today. Because if the Lord is my light and my salvation, as the psalmist says, then how could we be anything different? The light that we're called to shine in our culture, especially online, but even among ourselves, is not us versus them. It's not hatred toward them. It's not remove them or take them out of the country, remove them from office, but rather to show by action and by peaceful, loving, passive resistance, a way forward that is inclusive and loving and compassionate after the example of Christ. Just past Monday, we celebrated Martin Luther King Day. Right? Their passive resistance, their willingness to be beaten, bitten by dogs, trampled by horses, hosed down, and get up and continue walking peacefully without throwing a fist, insisting that I am a man, I am a citizen. They stood after the example of Christ. I will not move. This is who I am. This is the truth. I will not attack you. I will stand, and if you knock me down, I will get up again, but I will not move. As we celebrated his legacy, for our African American and Black brothers and sisters in this country who continue to fight for equality, we pray that we can continue in that model, in that example, in those footsteps, to be firm in our position to stand with Jesus Christ, how he lived, how he loved, how he died, because he rose. And if Christ is risen from the dead, then all things are possible for those who follow him and let him fight our battles as we stand firm as his followers, Christians, bearers of light.